button in your car, and hear ad-free music like never before. Dedicated, expertly curated channels for everything from country and pop to rock and hip-hop. Plus sports, talk, and news, and even more available for free online and on the app. Just press the sat button in your car and listen free to SiriusXM through December 1st.
Work, school, grocery shopping, doctor's appointments, the gym, to the airport to pick up loved ones, to the kids' soccer games, piano lessons, out for movie night, to hear your favorite band in the city, over to grandma and grandpa's house, and on last year's amazing road trip. Your vehicle takes you so many places. Protect it. When you leave your vehicle, remember to always take your keys or key fob with you and lock the doors. If you suspect auto theft, contact the National Insurance Crime Bureau at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB, or visit our website at www.nicb.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Jordan.
Jordan Kleber, look at that smile. Look at that pearly white smile from Mark Shafisi over there.
That's
to your left.
Olive oil that. Italian skin, yeah.
Well, it was nice to see Mark Shafisi. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
In the books.
That's it. It's always fun to do this once in a while. Thank you for having me up here.
I hear you, man. Jordan Kleber with you. Gus Kattengill with you as well. Hour number three underway. Shamit Dua is going to lead things off for us. Lee Sterling next segment. We'll touch a little bit more on the NBA with Scott Alexander as well. But we played it a little bit earlier. Pelicans did a lot of moves yesterday. Essentially, we gave you the Cliff Notes version. Do you remember, Jordan? Let's see if you studied early in the show. I did this just for you. What do you take away from yesterday?
What I take away from yesterday?
That's what I said.
Yeah, what I take away from yesterday in the Pelicans, I mean, they went after the guy that they wanted to go after.
Simple. I was just going to say they drafted one player. His name is Kyra Lewis.
You didn't learn anything in 2 years in eighth
that's
grade.
That's literally all I wanted you to come up and say. That's it. I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness.
It just helped me get close to my NBA dream. So I go in and work and just do what I can. And hopefully God bless me, I can fulfill that dream.
Now, when he was recruited to play for the Crimson Tide, he was only 16 years old. After 2 years of college basketball, he's still one of the youngest players in this draft. And Mike Schmidt said it. He is pure speed and quickness, great in transition, a good passer, can score, and also a solid defender. He hardly ever comes off the floor. And Nate Oates plays at a high rate of speed, so he gets up and down the floor. I think Kyra Lewis Jr. is another player that we could look back on this draft in years future and say, how did he go so low that he should have been higher up?
Ooh, I like hearing that from Jay Billis. I love those highlights. We bring in Shamit Dua at Fear the Browns, the way to follow him over on Twitter, lead writer for Bourbon Street Shots. Shamit, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon. I'm doing well. How are you?
Can you do a little bit better than Jordan just now did in explaining what took place yesterday? We had, 10 draft picks. This draft pick went that way. This is traded. I tried to make it easy for him. The Pelicans do have one player, but it was an interesting night, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a very interesting night. It wasn't clear what was going to happen with regards to any team drafting, and I think there were a couple of surprises early. But one of the most surprising things was there wasn't really a trade that happened until, I believe, 15 or something like that. So it took a long time for teams to really trade, and it looks like everyone found the guy they loved. And for the Pelicans, it was Kyra Lewis, who I'm a very big fan of. And then the Pelicans had the 24th overall pick, who they traded to the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets selected R.J. Hampton. In return, the Pelicans got a future first-round pick from Denver in 2023. They also had a couple second-round picks, which they also traded for future second-round picks, indicating that, they weren't really in love with anyone else in this draft. And, you know, that perhaps they don't want to have even more young players on a roster full of young players, and with such limited developmental time and onboarding time, and you know, the season being right around the corner, I think they just want to turn their attention to Kyra and maybe, you know, punt on the rest of the picks and flip them to a later date.
Yeah, and again, I look at it as if that's your thinking and philosophy when it's not such a deep draft, I wait a couple of seasons for maybe something that is deeper, and I'm with you. You have already a young roster as it is, and one thing that Pels fans probably already see is they have a lot of guards on this roster. It was addressed yesterday with Stan Van Gundy and Trajan Langdon. How do you view right now the roster constructed?
I'd be shocked if this is anything close to the final roster when it comes to the season starting. You know, the with the Drew Holiday trade, they got back two guards and Eric Bledsoe and George Hill, veteran guards who both, you know, frankly can play. And, you know, they would play for the Pelicans, but I'd be shocked if they stay on the Pelicans. Maybe one of them ends up staying, you know. And then there's Lonzo Ball. There's Nikhil Alexander-Walker. There's still J.J. There's still Josh Hart. And so while J.J. and Josh Hart play more specific roles, and I think, you know, they don't really fall with the rest of the group, but you start to wonder, you know, Lonzo Ball is up for an extension. Maybe the Pelicans don't want to deal with that next year and they find good value from elsewhere. Because they have, you know, they just draft a point guard and maybe, you know, they can find value and flip him. Maybe Nikhil Alexander Walker has the value and they flip him. So, but to be honest, I'll be shocked if all of them are on the roster and they haven't made moves for, let's say, a starting big man, because right now only Jackson Hayes is that guy, or even more wings, because you always need more wing depth. If Brandon Ingram gets hurt, you know, who's really behind him? Josh Hart can step up, but you really want more confidence back there.
Schmidt, you spoke about Lonzo Ball. Long-term, is on his team, or is this going to be an evaluation process and maybe could move by the trading deadline this year?
Yeah, I mean, I think your guess is as good as mine. I'd be hesitant to say he's on the team long-term, simply because I don't know what they have in him yet. There's still a lot of potential. Obviously, he made great strides as a shooter. He's really dynamic as a defender and playmaker, but then there's still obvious weaknesses, like his inability to get to the rim or get to the free throw line or make free throws. And so those kind of weaknesses do put a ceiling on how good he can be and how good he makes the team. And then what it comes down to is, what does his money look like? You know, if he's the type of player that's asking for $20-something million, and that's kind of the going rate for starting point guards, do you really want to commit, you know, 4 years, 5 years, $20 million apiece into Lonzo Ball with that many question marks? I'd be very scared to. And so, you know, I can see the Pelicans deciding they don't want to go down this route and they don't want to go through this evaluation period and just trade him now. Or, like you said, they may wait a few months to get a better picture and then make a move at the deadline.
Right, and Mark, and remember, and Schmidt knows this as well, he changed agents as well, right? Schmidt going into this season, so that's something to kind of think about, too. He definitely wants to get paid. Go ahead, Mark.
Schmidt, George Hill, is he on his team opening day?
I think that's the one I would say is most likely to get moved, mainly because he has a really team-friendly contract. He's a productive player. He's a good shooter and a good veteran presence. That's going to have a lot of value, and obviously that has value to the Pelicans as well. But I think with the theme of the moves David Griffin and his staff have made, they're seeking to extract value wherever they can. And George Hill might be the piece that gets them another asset.
You know, this offseason is fast break like everything else because of the COVID. Free agency is right here. A few targets you think the Pelicans are going to take a shot at?
Yeah, so one of the names they got linked to pretty recently is center Aaron Baines. He played for the Phoenix Suns this past season, and he's known for being really good at doing the dirty work in terms of setting screens, rebounding the ball, boxing out, that kind of stuff. But where he really made strides is as a shooter. He knocked down a good amount of threes, and I think the Pelicans would be interested in adding a big man, a center who can not only, you know, defend and protect the rim and all that good stuff, but also space out the floor for Zion and Brandon Ingram and now Kyra.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark. You said, oh, okay, I thought you had something else. Yeah, and I think one of the things that'll be interesting with the next several moves, I mean, look, David Griffin and Trajan Langdon, Schmidt, yesterday tell us we're not done. I mean, there's still a lot of balls in the air and all this other stuff. So,
no pun intended.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Yeah, just got to wait for a little bit, right, Schmidt?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Patience is key. And it's weird because the season starts in a month, you know, and free agency starts tomorrow, or at least at midnight tomorrow. And there is such a short turnaround time for them to figure this out before training camp starts and, you know, preseason games start, that they really have their work cut out for them. And, you know, I could see it going both ways in the sense that they make a flurry of moves over the next couple of weeks and get it all ready for training camp, or, you know, just because of the pace of this thing, things don't materialize as quickly as they hope, and it becomes a waiting game. You know, like, you know, Eric Bledsoe and George Hill stay on your roster for a little while longer, and maybe you play them, maybe you rehab their value a little bit, and then you flip them.
Schmidt Duo at Fear the Browns, the way to follow over on Twitter, lead writer of Bourbon Street Shots. So we have Kyra being drafted. We wait to see what other moves can come about here as well. What other, I think, types of transformation do you think to the team? Is it scoring? Is it defensive type players? Is it veterans? To where we'll be talking about this next week? Because I think we all agree there's going to be moves, but what do you think David Griffin and Trajan Langdon are targeting?
I think flexibility first and foremost, both in terms of who that player is and what they can do on the roster, and you know, the ability to play multiple positions, defend multiple positions, or do multiple things on the court, but also flexibility in terms of salary. You know, you don't want to lock yourself into long-term deals. You want to get people who are on reasonable deals who can then be used to go get other people in the future. You know, a lot of teams where they end up hurting themselves is they commit long-term money to a guy who ends up underperforming his contract and they can't move him for anything. I think we've seen that story play out multiple times in the previous regime with the Pelicans. And so that's kind of the last place you want to be, and you want to keep yourself flexible. But like we talked about, I think they're going to go after a big who can stretch the floor a little bit. And, you know, maybe it's Aaron Baines, maybe it's someone else they find through trade. I think defense is really going to be a point of emphasis this season, especially with Stan Van Gundy, everything he said in his press conferences, everything he's been about his whole career. I think getting the players to buy in on defense as well as bringing in defensive vets who can set the tone and really help the young guys along at that end is going to be key. I think offensively they're not going to – I think they realize that they play well fast. You know, I know that was in Alvin Gentry's theme and strength, but I think it is also the strength of this roster and definitely the strength of Kyra Lewis, who is probably the fastest player in the draft and is going to be one of the fastest players in the NBA right out the gate. So I think they're going to continue to play fast offensively because they get some easy buckets, but you might see a little bit more structure rather than a free-flowing offense.
Final question for you. The big news out of the NBA today, Klay Thompson, Achilles injury. Now, they did stay put and they drafted James Wiseman yesterday. How do you think a move like that maybe has some ripple effects in the Western Conference or even just around the NBA? In terms of do the Warriors now go get some shooting or things of that nature? Do they need another guard back there? I mean, he's missing another year.
Man, I have no idea. Their luxury tax bill is quite insane, to be honest. Right. And any additional salary that they're going to add is going to keep multiplying that bill because it's not like a one-to-one thing. It grows. And so can they talk themselves into paying that big of a bill when Klay Thompson is hurt and they might not be a finals contender? I don't know. I mean, they kind of owe it to Steph Curry to be good this year, right? But what is the long-term future on that team? Draymond Green isn't getting any younger. Steph Curry isn't getting any younger. You start to ask, is this a situation where in a year Steph Curry is no longer on the Warriors? Mm-hmm. You know, do they blow it up? I don't know, because sometimes, you know, you want to do the right thing. Like you have with Dirk Nowitzki or Tim Duncan, and you just kind of go down with a ship. But other times, you know, if Steph is like, hey, man, I feel like I have an opportunity to win championships, send me somewhere, they could probably get quite a haul for him. So they are in a terrible position that I wish no franchise can be in. And frankly, the Pelicans, I thought, were heading down that direction when Boogie tore his Achilles, right? I thought, I'm like, well, what are they going to do? They're probably mm-hmm. going to give Boogie a long-term deal, and, you know, that's going to be a mess. And it was a no-win situation. And, you know, it was, and frankly, it was ugly for the Pelicans the next couple of years, but then they lucked into Zion. And maybe that's the case where Golden State is not good again this year, and they pick up a stud from next year's draft who, you know, next year's draft is supposed to be incredibly deep. And then you're adding to the young core of Wiseman that you already have. You know, maybe you get Cade Cunningham, who's supposed to be fantastic. And then if you do end up trading Steph, or if you don't, you know, you have two good young players, but if you do end up trading him, all of a sudden, you know, you've kickstarted a rebuild that may have taken years to accomplish.
Very interesting. Good stuff as always, man. Our segment goes by so fast. Shemit Dua at Fear the Browns, the way to follow on Twitter. He's the lead writer over at Bourbon Street Shots. Thank you so much, man.
You too.
Yeah, Mark, I mean, there's so many different elements to it, especially, I mean, again, I mean, I just looked at, you know, Jordan's face over here. He's like, when he mentioned...
Handsome man.
Yeah, did the Warriors blow it up? I mean, can you imagine, like, if they say, okay, well, look, you know, because of that, can you legitimately make a run? Do you still try? Does Steph go somewhere else? I think it's easier to try to find some shooting or somebody to help out than to try to blow all that up.
Well,
right?
They're not a championship contender, but they can make the playoffs. You know, I think that's kind of where they are right now.
Well, especially with all the different draft picks, if the Pelicans want to go after him, this is completely.
Oh, you want Steph here now?
I mean,
is that what you want?
We have the picks to get anybody.
You know what? Go back to what you were doing. Go back over here.
Shemit said it, not me.
He's playing Dynadash.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go back to doing that. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports is next on ESPN New Orleans. That I ain't got. He's got you. That's what he's got. At Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Houma, you can get a great deal on a Ram at their Black Friday sales event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Avenue Wine & Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine & Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine & Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine & Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
It was 1972, and in Miami, the Dolphins went undefeated. In New York City, disco was just getting started. And in Houma, the Foster family opened their Terminex business to help protect the good folks of South Louisiana from nasty pests. When you want to sock it to those nasty roaches, termites, and rodents, you want the local pros from Terminex on your side.
So call those Bayou boys. They'll get you Terminex tough.
There's no place like home for the holidays, or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor, with Black Friday prices inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees starting at just $39.98, or outside lights and playful inflatables to bring joy to the neighborhood. Order online, and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with a wide assortment of holiday decor from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Free standard shipping on most online orders over $45. Some exclusions apply while supplies last.
Let's hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Lee Sterling each and every Thursday at this time joins us. ParamountSports.com at Paramount Sports on Twitter. Lee, how are you today?
I'm good. You've been enjoying the action last couple nights?
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. Not bad
not
for
bad.
Sure.
Not bad. I mean, it's like watching a basketball game, you know. Team score 50, 60, like nothing. My nephew, so he's over watching the games. He plays quarterback. He's 8 years old. He said to me, what do I do? You always told me, you know, if I drop the ball, you know, just pick the ball up. If you're not sure what to do, just run straight ahead.
Damn.
And I said, yeah, watch. Watch what happens in these MAC games. See, 2 games that we watched, quarterback did that near the goal line. He still walks in for a touchdown unscathed. He goes, what doesn't happen in my games? I said, well, the MAC, they don't play any defense. So.
Yeah, now I hear you. Look, the way COVID is, there's going to be a game pretty much every day of the week for the most part. And you got one tonight, obviously, with Tulane. Tomorrow and Friday, Pac-12's playing games. So, yeah, just tune it on, and you'll watch some football. Nice week last week, sir, for you. And we'll start this week with Ohio State at Indiana. Those Hoosiers, kind of one of those teams that surprised, I guess, some folks here. Ohio State, 20.5-point favorite, though. Are they going to be in for a game?
It's going to be tough. You know, last year they lost 51-10. Losing by 41 points is tough to make up that much in 1 year. Even the two times before that, they lost by 21 and 23 points. Ohio State did something most teams don't do. Usually when they have off, you know, they let the kids go away for the weekend. What does Ohio State do? They went for a full-fledged 11-on-11 scrimmage. The two games, you know, they were up 42-9 to Rutgers and 31-13 to Penn State. They cruised after three quarters. I don't think they're coasting here. People think of Indiana as having a good offense, and I thought it was pretty good, but then I looked at the numbers. I mean, they rank only 89th in total offense, 118th in rushing offense. So, yes, I guess we're remembering most of the good plays instead of the bad ones. And Ohio State, 8-2 the last 10, laying 10-25 at home in the Horseshoe. Sometimes you got to lay it if you want to play it. Buckeyes, 52-21 over Indiana.
You know, in the SEC, Auburn taking on Tennessee. Tigers, a 10-point favorite. How do you see that between Auburn and the Volunteers?
Well, I thought going into the year, I thought Tennessee would be much improved, but they got problems at quarterback. I mean, it looks like they're probably going to play Jerick Gortano, probably going to start him, but I'd go with Harrison Bailey. You got to find out what you have. I mean, Gortano's a senior. You're not going anywhere. You got to play for the future. They also need some more creativity on offense. I think the play calling is stale. Maybe go up tempo sometimes. You know, try some new things. Auburn on offense, why they've been successful? Well, the last four games they run for at least 200 plus yards in all four games. And when you do that, you know, it makes the play action a lot more effective. And that's why Bo Nix, no interceptions in the last two games. So figuring this game out, Auburn probably scores in the low to mid 30s. So the question is, can Tennessee score 21 to 24 points? And I don't see it. I mean, I think Tennessee is desperate. I just think they're incapable. I like Auburn here, 34-17.
Another set of Tigers taking on Arkansas. 2.5-point favorites here. A little different, obviously, than when these two teams battled last year. A lot of things going on with LSU. How do you see this game, man? It's at Fayetteville.
Yeah, but what's funny is I'm watching. Now, obviously, Florida has a better offense than LSU, but I'm watching the Arkansas defense, and they seem to be wearing down. They don't have a whole lot of depth. No pass rush. I mean, there's some times where the guys only get 1 or 2 yards upfield on a seven-step drop, and I mean the quarterback's having 6-7 seconds to throw the football. Their DBs, they can cover average to low-end receivers. They can't cover talented receivers. And I still think that LSU's got some talented receivers there. I think Finley or Johnson can do enough to be successful here. And how about this? The last time the Hogs were favored or within a point or two, you know, they were a small underdog, was last year once, and then you have to go all the way back to the start of 2018. Last year was against Western Kentucky, and they lost that game 45-19 here. Arkansas scored 35 points last week versus Florida, but two of those two TDs were garbage time TDs. I like LSU here, 34-30.
A few minutes left with Lee Sterling. Lee, tonight, Thursday night football, big game in the NFC West, Arizona at Seattle Seahawks. 3-point favorite. How do you see it between Russell Wilson and Kyler Murray?
So I think that Seattle's desperate, and not saying they're a good defense, but they shouldn't be the last in defense, and they've got a lot of pride. They've had some injuries. Just think that Adams has had trouble picking up the system. You know, with each game, I think he's going to get better, and I think they're going to let Russ cook. I mean, he's going to be able to get time without Chandler Jones, and he was in the first game. Seattle had them. They just couldn't put them away. I think in the rematch, I think Seattle's the right side here, 35-30 tonight.
That'll be interesting to see tonight here as well. All right, another NFL game of note, at least for Saints fans for sure. Mark, Tampa Bay, 4.5-point favorite taking on the Rams. It's Monday Night Football.
Yeah, and Tampa Bay, I think the matchup favor them here, only because Evans, Antonio Brown, Chris Godwin, tight end Rob Gronkowski. You have to go all the way back to 1994, the Houston Oilers, when a team fielded three Pro Bowl receivers at the same time. Jalen Ramsey's great, but he can't be in three paces here at the same time. The Rams averaging only 21 points in the last six games here. breaking that 24-point barrier just once during that time. Give me Tampa Bay at home, 27-20.
Finally, here at the Dome, Falcons taking on the Saints. Saints 5-point favorite. No Drew Brees, Jameis Winston under center, and Falcons resurgent under Raheem Morris. How do you see it between the Saints and Atlanta?
Yeah, you know, if not for Todd Gurley's brain cramp, the Falcons would be 4-0 under interim coach here, Raheem Morris. Atlanta has looked much better. They seem rejuvenated since letting head coach Dan Quinn and general manager Thomas Dimitroff go. Ryan has picked up his game here. 8 touchdowns, just one interception in the last 4 games. They were idle last week. I think it helps them game plan. And I didn't think James Winston looks good. I think he looks unsettled. Maybe, you know, with a week to prepare, he'll be a little better off. But I think this is going to be a tight game. I have New Orleans winning the game here, 24-23, but I think 5 points is a little too much.
Ooh, that's a tight one. But you know what? With no Drew Brees, you just want the W and
right.
continue to keep pace with everybody else. Not only a couple of games of the week, but also some UFC plays as well. If folks want that, how can they do that, Lee?
So this is what we're doing. It's called Customer Appreciation Week. Every year I like to have 1 week where if someone is not a client, all they need to do is call the number, and we will give them 3 free games in the football or in the UFC, no strings attached. Because I know if I win for you and I go 2-1 or 3-0, you're going to want to ride with me through the Super Bowl. So you want to get your 3 free games, just call 800-400-9741. Give us your email. We'll send those off to you just my way, saying thank you for listening to the segment each and every week. So just call that number, 800-400-9741, and always check out the website. Got a lot of other free pick videos up and available, ParamountSports.com.
Sounds good, man. We'll talk to you again next Thursday. Enjoy the weekend.
Okay.
Well, not Thursday. Yeah. We'll do it before then because it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So maybe we'll do like a Wednesday.
Maybe we'll try to do it on Tuesday.
Okay? Sounds good.
Okay. See you guys.
There he goes. I keep forgetting next Thursday is Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
dude, it's so fast.
Holidays a year.
So fast. You said your kids are in college now?
Yeah, my youngest is at Southern Miss.
Mine's going to be 4.
Huh?
December 6th.
Carver's 4.
It's going to be 4.
All right, what does he want for Christmas?
What doesn't he want for Christmas?
Okay.
Santa's going to take care of him.
Yep.
Yeah. A little scooter, a little bike maybe.
What's that, the Red Ryder BB gun? Is he getting that?
We're a little more advanced now. You know, yeah, LED lights that roll, thanks to gravity technology, no battery needed, stuff like that. And you got to get the matching helmet. Mm-hmm. What are you shaking your head for?
Jordan wants the G.I. Joe with the Kung Fu grip.
Exactly,
I saw it right in his list.
Yeah. He's still wondering, you know, yesterday on the show, I'm like, you know, with all these draft picks, you know, you have a. You know, Jordan, like, what the last, I think, Milwaukee Bucks draft pick is 2027, which is 7 years from now. And I said, you know what? You could be married with 2 kids by then. And he, like, brushed it off. I'm like, dude, you're going to be almost 30.
Yes.
Like, you'll be 22 on Tuesday. 7 years from now, you'll be 29.
Be balding and a parent of 2 or 3.
Let me tell you something. By 29, if we don't have a little one on the way, I'm just saying, mom and dad may be like, yo, I mean, you know, when what's happening here? I mean, do we have a girlfriend yet? I mean, I'm just, you got a lot of pressure in 7 years. I'm just saying. It's not that long. And the time it takes to build the Pelicans into a championship contender, Jordan could be fathering something. You know, man, that's going to be. We'll start with the puppy. Let's start with the puppy. Get him some training.
Maybe a
you
know, pet,
I really,
maybe
I
a
highly
pet rock.
Yes.
I don't know.
I highly suggest, Jordan, you start with the puppy.
I like the.
Start
like
with the puppy.
Yeah.
No, you don't even want to go with the live animal. Not a good quality, Jordan. You see, there could be a lady listening right now. You know.
No, I'm.
I
I'm
think
really
you can handle a puppy.
I can handle a dog.
I think you can handle a puppy. You have an adult dog now.
Yes, I have a dog.
But you have to start from the beginning, you know, and you're sure you can take care of it, wake up early in the morning.
I'll probably get one soon.
Okay, there you go. So one of the things that Lee brought up there, he brought up a 1-point score. Ross Jackson suggested maybe it's a be conservative sort of game plan. You and I sort of touched on, well, maybe you can do some more with Jameis, but I do think, look, rivalry games are going to go back and forth. I do think the Saints defense is playing better, but you also brought up that the Falcons are playing better. Do you think this is a nail biter in the fourth?
I think it's coming down in the fourth quarter and.
But then it goes to special teams.
Yeah, and Will Lutz. And I like that. And the Saints are a better coached football team. I don't think there's any question about that. And, I don't think there's any reason to think. I mean, I don't bet, but the Saints shouldn't come out with a win on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether it's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 5.5, there's no 5.5, but 5 or 6, who cares? They need to keep winning and keep that lead over Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I agree. What about you? You haven't said anything on some of the keys. We'll do it a little bit more with you tomorrow, but what something that stands in your head?
Something that stands in my head, I guess Sean Payton's play calling. I think maybe what he does with Taysom Hill, maybe he might go back and try to use him a little bit more. Like he did against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but at the same time, you gotta be extra cautious with Taysom Hill. So I don't know what he's gonna do. So quarterback position's kind of what I'm gonna be looking at. Let's see what kind of reps Jameis Winston gets.
Mark, I brought this up.
Real quick on that, and I think they've been all in the last 3 or 4 years with Drew Brees with his age, and with Green Bay at 2 losses, and they're playing at the Colts. And the Colts have been hot.
Mm-hmm.
And I know home fields aren't home fields anymore.
Yeah, no,
anymore.
I hear you.
You know, they might well have the number one seed, you know, come Monday morning.
This next quarter of games, okay, you need to go 3-1. The Falcons twice. The Broncos and the Eagles are struggling offensively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to have these games.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You got to have these games. Really? But this one more than any, you got to have this one here. Get things going off in the right direction. Something we'll touch on later on before the end of the show here. I want to come back with this at 2:45. Raheem Morris used to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneer head coach. There's got to be familiarity that helps both coaches and both parties, including Jameis Winston. He's got to know a little bit about Raheem Morris.
Absolutely.
Right? Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
At your job, you don't really have a career, you have a job, or maybe you're out of work altogether. Listen to me. You can start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Sound too good to be true? Go to mycomputercareer.edu, take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes, meet just twice a week. Financial aid, including the GI Bill, is available to those who qualify. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
Vehicle accidents are stressful enough. You don't need someone showing up at the scene trying to pressure you into letting them tow away your vehicle, often falsely claiming they were dispatched by the police or an insurance company. Be wary of any unsolicited tow truck that arrives on the scene of an accident. In fact, in some places, it's illegal. Motorists should not feel pressured to agree to a tow. Call your roadside assistance provider or insurance company for towing company suggestions. Or consult with police on the scene. Always get the price and terms in writing along with the location of the tow yard before letting a tow truck driver hook up your vehicle and take it away. If you suspect fraud, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. Or visit our website, www.nicb.org. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins and your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
Good afternoon.
Only one performance a day.
Well, let's get this show on the road, eh?
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. It is our number 3. As we continue to talk a little bit about the NBA. Big news, of course. Klay Thompson, yeesh. Really, really shame there as he suffers an Achilles injury. So he'll be out again this year. Scott Alexander, Nola Golden, of course, covered the NBA many, many years as well. So we'll touch a little bit on that as well. But, Scott, first off, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Gus, it's good to be with you, my friend. How you been?
I'm doing fantastic. Dude, I love the new kits. I saw them unveiled earlier this week for the Nola Golds right around the corner. What, February you guys get going, huh?
I mean, it literally is right around the corner. We are moving the season back till late March, start instead of early February with COVID. But we're excited. The Toronto Airline is now deemed the Gold Line on airline. It's going to be kicking off really soon.
One of the cool things, obviously, is just the environment over there. Everything. I know it wasn't a ton of games that we got to see over there at the new Gold Mine on airline. But, look, my neighbor, I told this story the last time I saw you over there at Vinny's, went to one of the home games that was able to be played this year, and they loved it. They just, on a whim, decided they were driving by, saw there was something going. They showed up, and, you know, one of the kids that was there is about Carver's age, and, you know, he's three, and he enjoyed it. So it really is a family sort of environment. It's fun, isn't it, Scott?
It's perfect. I mean, literally, if you have kids that are 3 years old, they have stuff for them to do. If you got kids that are 7, 8, 9, 10, they learn a new sport, and I've never seen anybody come to a game and say they had a bad time. And if you like to drink beer, obviously rugby's known for that beer, but this is a different kind of rugby than maybe LSU rugby and club rugby type stuff. These are Olympians. World Cup players, fine-tuned athletes, and literally at least half this team, maybe even more NFL right now. That's how good of athleticism they have.
Yeah, no doubt. At D. Scott Alexander is the way to follow Scott over on Twitter, Primetime Sports, Fox Sports, and, of course, NOLA Gold Rugby and the NBA, sir. So let's touch a little bit on that. The move yesterday by the Pelicans, let's start there and then kind of go on over what you saw elsewhere in the draft. But Kyra Lewis, it seems like the team really likes him. Everyone we've talked to today really likes him. Point guard from Alabama seems to have turned some eyes.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I got to see him a lot the last 2 years. Obviously, he's in LSU's side of the conference over there in the West, and this kid can play. I mean, the kid beat up LSU quite a bit in those games he played. He's super quick. I mean, if you've seen any video of him, you know he's a glider. He gets down that lane and in transition with ease. He gets the cup on anybody. You know, he's got great ball skills. You know, I'm not saying he's a great shooter, but he hits down open threes. He's going to have to learn to have to hit that NBA three, which is, you know, that's going to take a little bit of time. But honestly, if you're talking about a best pure kind of point guard in this kind of NBA now where they can score, they can dish, you know, this might be the guy. I know LaMelo Ball, I'm not even sure what you call him. I mean, because he's going to have the ball and he's going to score. But I would say Kyra Lewis might be one of the bigger sleepers in this draft. He plays much taller than 6'3". Mm-hmm. I mean, he's only 170, though. I mean, he's got that's a soaking wet. But once he gets that size and strength, Gus, I think in a year or two, this guy is going to be a big-time contributor for the Pels.
Scott, you brought up LaMelo. When I saw the draft pick, and it's been, you know, I've been having discussions on and off the air with people about Lonzo. And Stan Van Gundy, I want to play what he had to say about specifically how he can kind of view both of them on the court, because my next question is going to be to you about how do you see Lonzo Ball as a point guard in the NBA and really with this team. But Stan Van Gundy was talking about Lonzo and Kyra in the backcourt. That's what he had to say, Scott.
And look, I think if you really look around the NBA now, one of the trends we're seeing for teams, which I think is a good one, is to try to get multiple playmakers on the floor. You know, a lot of guys who can make plays. And I think, you know, Lonzo's there, and we've already had Brandon there. We're excited about Nikhil Alexander-Walker and now Kyra. So I think there's going to be a lot of times where we're playing on the floor with two guys that you would probably classify as point guards, but you can play them together. And I think we've seen with some teams, you know, like Oklahoma City this past year, I mean, their closing lineup was three point guards with Chris Paul and Dennis Schroeder and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. They were playing three guys like that. And so I think it's a trend of get as many playmakers as you can on the floor.
Well, you know,
and you might
have
a little size
quote,
at times, though certainly with Lonzo, we don't. And those guys are going to go out and play really hard and be very tough to guard off the dribble and make plays for each other.
So that's what Coach Van Gundy had to say yesterday about it, Scott.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't heard that yet, but you know what? He makes a lot of sense because OKC, once he started talking about the guards, point guards being on the court at the same time, I immediately went to OKC's success this season. You could even throw a little Miami Heat, the team that got to the finals. Mm-hmm. You didn't get to see a ton of him in the playoffs because he was hurt early on, but Kendrick Nunn is the kind of player a little bit like Kyra Lewis, but he played a lot with obviously Goran Dragic this season. They had a lot of success, and when he came back, you saw them give them a lift toward the end of the playoffs and into the NBA Finals. But listen, this team is guard heavy. They're going to have to play guards. I mean, I don't know who they're going to end up with, but as you know, you got Lonzo Ball, you got Nikhil Walker-Alexander. They're both coming into their primes a little bit. Kyra Lewis is going to be the rookie. Eric Bledsoe, George Hill, what are we going to do with them? J.J. Redick's obviously going to be a shooter off the bench. They have a lot of guards, and obviously they're going to make a trade. But I, you know, Stan Van Gundy, you watch the NBA as much as I did in the playoffs. He calls all the games, or not a lot of them. He called games during the year. He's been watching every team. He's watching different styles. And listen, he knows what's going on around the league, and certainly guard play is really more pivotal these days than it was in the 90s when really it was you had to build your team around a big man like a Shaq, a Olajuwon or a Ewing or one of those big guys like the Admiral. But today it's the guards game, and sometimes teams play at least three or four of them at the same time.
That's where I was going to go with next, Scott. How much do you take into account what you saw in the bubble in those playoffs? Because Jordan and I were talking about it yesterday. We did today. You know, you saw what Kyler Murray was able to do. Variations and an innovation, I guess, of pick and rolls. It still works. I mean, LeBron and the Lakers, when the stuff hit the fan, he and AD ran a pick and roll. That play works. It still works. So having ball handlers, but also having the ability to drive down the lane, and I guess like what Stan Van Gundy is saying, if you have multiple ball handlers, I guess then you don't have to, I guess you can take out the fact that I have to go dribble or get to a certain part of the court to run a play. If I have essentially two point guards, then I can kind of run anything from any side of the court.
Listen, man, this team has to build around two guys. We know who they are. B.I., Brandon Ingram, and, of course, Zion Williamson. And the key to them is to take the double teams off them. So if you have guys that can penetrate, this is no secret. Spacing is everything in the NBA. Get guys penetrate, get those guys open shots or maneuverability to the lane, because that's what all Zion needs is a step, and that guy's going to take it hard to the rim. B.I., just give him a little place where he can come curl up, pick and roll or something. Give him an open shot. He's shown that he has range now. And give this team one more shooter. I feel like I need another shooter on this team to even make those guys more valuable. You got the guys that can penetrate now. J.J. can shoot. We know that. But I need a couple more, at least one, that I know that can knock down that shot every single time when he's open.
What do you think the Pels may look into over the weekend here? Tomorrow you can start negotiating and talking with free agents. Sunday they can put pen to paper, but free agency begins tomorrow.
Listen, David Griffin, he's got some plan here. He's a genius. They obviously need beef. You got to rebound still. I don't care what's going on.
I agree.
Zion Williamson can rebound. I mean, but he's only 6'7", right? 6'8", whatever he might be. You need something in there. I know Favors was around last year. He's a free agent. There's a lot of guys in free agency, some old, some grizzled veterans, different style guys. You got the Montrezl Harrell, who's like, what is he, a 4 or 5? He's only 6'7", but any team could use a guy like that. Or you have these bigger guys like a Gallinari or a Grant, that Jeremy Grant from Denver. You saw in the playoffs what he did, step back and shoot the three. You know, those guys that are stretch four guys. So I don't know what. They need some height for sure. And there's a lot of options out there. I just don't know what flavor that David Griffin thinks is going to fit best with this team. So in my opinion, give me a couple shooters if you can get that, at least one, and a couple guys with some beef and some size, too.
Yeah, I think as we wrap up here with Scott Alexander, I think one of the things that I was looking at, and I think I even mentioned it yesterday in the show to Daniel, and you were there over at NOLA Chill, sir, I said, look, I think this year just figure out what you have. See what you got. Everyone keeps saying next year's draft might be a little bit better, and you have all these picks coming up in the future. Let's see what this foundation is under this philosophy, under Stan Van Gundy. And then as the season goes along, because you don't have a long training camp, you don't have a long off season, so you're kind of learning on the fly here. And then we can start to refine what you want the Pelicans to be. But I think this is going to be kind of a learning process, yet still being able to compete to get one of those spots to be one of the playoff teams.
You know, I'm most excited to see, and y'all had him on your show yesterday, Jackson Hayes. I can't wait to see his progression from year one to year two. That's the kind of guy that I think is going to be a future big-time player in this league. He's so young, still so raw. Just give him a tutor. Give him somebody that can mentor him and keep him going. But that guy needs to be able to produce for the Pels as well. And it's going to be an exciting season. This team, you know, is going to be a borderline playoff team in the very, very hard West. But keep in mind, they went 21-13 down the stretch before the bubble. And that's what I'm keeping my eyes on, because, look, we all know the injuries before. They did very well when they got a lot of their players back.
Primetime Sports, Fox Sports, and, of course, with the NOLA Gold rugby team. We'll be talking about that real soon. The new kits were released this week for all the teams. It looks solid, man, real solid, man. As always, at D. Scott Alexander is the way to follow you on Twitter. Thank you for your time today, man.
Thank you, brother. Go Gold.
Mark, you got to get out there to a Gold game, man.
You know, I haven't done that. I need to do that.
It's fun.
I know they're on
highway. I was like that, too. I was like,
now.
I knew they were here, and I was like, I just never got a chance to go. Sometimes I'm doing games or something, and but I did. It's fun. We love football here in this city, right? We love contact sports. Well, that's contact with no pads. Mm-hmm. And if you, Jordan, you've seen some of their players. If you've seen them.
Yeah.
No, they're super athletes.
They're big.
They're big. Muscular.
Lean. Fast.
Much like myself.
Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say. Yeah. We were trying to get Jordan to go out there. They call it training.
Missing
instead of
teeth.
Practice. Yeah,
stitches.
We were going to have Jordan just toss him the ball and tell him to run.
Yeah.
And see how far he can get.
See if he can get 2-3 feet,
See how far he can get.
Inches.
Yeah. Just see what happens.
See if you can fall forward.
Yeah. 6'2", 6'3", 250 just comes right and just pulls you down. Pulls you down, Jordan.
Hey, I'm for it as long as I know I'm not going to get hurt.
We threw him in a cryo chamber yesterday. He's willing to try things. Yeah.
It was actually I had a great night's sleep last night.
Walt said you would. So that's true.
Didn't wake up in the middle of the night, and I woke up feeling great.
Nice. Hmm. Well, there is a little glow to you. It could be just the glare from the window, though, behind me, though. final segment coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
Them wild night boys that had been away haven't changed, had much to say.
Today's Medical Minute is provided to you by Thibodeau Regional Medical Center.
Hello, I'm Billy Nakian, the director of the Spine Center of Excellence at Thibodeau Regional. Have you had a recent neck or back injury, or have you been suffering with recurrent neck and back pain? Have you been searching for relief? Thibodeau Regional has developed a unique approach to treating neck and back disorders. The Spine Center of Excellence provides a comprehensive, patient-centered approach to ensure that you receive the right care at the right time from the right provider. The Spine Center is different because it offers centralized access to multiple specialties and services. Patients and their referring physicians are led by a nurse navigator through a process of assessment and treatment, individually tailored to the patient's unique condition. In addition to total care coordination, the Spine Center's comprehensive services include everything from high-tech diagnostic imaging to physical therapy, surgery, alternative medicines, and chronic pain services. If you're experiencing back or neck pain, call today. 985-493-4501. The Spine Center of Excellence of Thibodeau Regional will put you on the path back to your normal routine.
This Medical Minute was sponsored by Thibodeau Regional Medical Center, nationally recognized for providing the highest level of quality care and patient satisfaction.
Hey everyone, Gus Kattengill with the Sports Hangover, excited to tell you about Men's Total Health. You'll be greeted by Andrea, and once you've checked in on the mini iPads, you'll start the learning process with Shane. Men's Total Health can help you be your best self by providing testosterone therapy, annual physicals, erectile dysfunction, IV therapy. Look, just get tested. I did. See where you stand. Visit Men's Total Health, located at 3829 Veterans in Metairie, behind the Fidelity Bank building. They accept all major insurances, so call them or go online at menstotalhealth.net.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Sports Hangover. Final segment. Jordan Klebe, Mark Shafisi, thank you for spending your Thursday with us, sir.
It was a lot of fun, man.
Even though you had to sit next to him.
Oh, come on. I wasn't that bad.
No, he's okay.
He really hasn't been that bad.
I like St. Paul's people. They're okay. So, yeah. So, that's good.
That is true. You do have a tie to St. Paul's.
Right? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's right.
Brother Martin Crusader.
Yeah, well, you know what? We might win the state.
That's right.
How did that game against Roma go, by the way?
I don't want to talk about that. Time, huh?
They cheated.
You know how many times I hear Raider pride in the office?
There's a lot of Roma guys over there.
You know, honestly, I was there 9 years with you. It took me about 7 to realize you meant Rummel. I honestly thought you were just some Oakland Raider or Los Angeles Raider fan.
Jay Vice didn't get it either.
I'm serious. I thought you were just like a Raiders fan or like in the day. You know, I mean, I was like, why is he like the Raiders? I asked Buddy one time, like, why is he like the Raiders so much? He goes, he went the Rummel. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Took you a little while, huh?
I just,
We got that motto.
Yeah.
I thought we spent that time all day on
y'all
Severn,
are littered everywhere, though.
You're
littered everywhere. Trahan, Daniels, Holder. I mean, it rumbles littered everywhere in media. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, there's a lot. Yeah, a lot.
I think it might be the only Martin representative.
I don't know. Where did Fletcher go to school? Did he go to Brother Martin?
No, he went to LaSalle, right?
I think he went to Brother Martin.
I thought it was De La Salle.
Maybe
I thought he
was
in De La Salle Hall of Fame or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Sports Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Sam, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you?
Hey, Gus. I'm all right. I'm all right. Fellstock, so that's nice. The Mackle brothers, they went to De La Salle.
Yes, I thought.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir, yeah. Man, that was a great show yesterday. It's just hard to get to station unless I'm on the car radio. But all the guests, who lined that up, Buddy or Jordan or all y'all or?
It was a group effort.
Man, I'm a lifer with Big Brother, and then you guys, and then before, when Scotty started up with Larry Holder on 690. Mm-hmm. I've been a sports guy. That's one of the best shows I've heard in a long time. It really is. I got a quick question though before you sign off.
Sure.
We were supposed to get the 24th pick, Milwaukee's pick.
Yep.
In the first round, in the Drew trade. Mm-hmm. And I don't have a TV at the house. I was looking at Gym TV with no sound. And they had up there that was going to Denver.
Yep.
Now, what's the Cliff Notes version of what's going on with that?
And they traded it. RJ Hampton selected him. And then they traded it to Denver for a future pick later on. I think 2022, first round. Yeah.
I think Andrew said the earliest, maybe 2023, we can see that pick.
Yeah.
That's what I saw Andrew Lopez tweet.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's cool because Sacramento's pick is not going to be a high pick. And we have enough young guys already. Mm-hmm. And another thing, too, like y'all mentioned, the non-existent offseason combined with the shortened college season, my deal is like we need someone that is more NBA ready than any other year before. So we're trading that off for 2023 or 2024 then.
I will tell you one thing. Do you have access to a computer, right?
Not really. Kind of, sort of. The library when I could get there.
Okay, well, if you can, thebirdrights.com. David Fisher did a great job today. I mean, a lot of people did, but this is one I saw this morning.
They do.
It explains everything to you. It's literally titled 2020 NBA Draft, Evaluating the Pelicans' Future Draft Pick Board. And they go year by year, what pick is what. Like literally 2021, I'll just give you this one and because we'd be here forever all the way to 27. But next year, the Pelicans first round pick, they have that. The Cavs second, the Wizards second, lesser of the Pelicans Bulls second because the Bulls own a swap right with New Orleans. But every year they go through it. So it's right there for you. I literally have it saved as a favorite because I can refer to it because somebody did it. Because it's a lot of picks. It's a lot of picks.
Yeah, the Bird Rights and Jake's Locked on Pels. That's good sources.
It's just the one I saw this morning.
Basketball stuff. All them guys, Dino Hanson, you guys, Scotty Alexander. Y'all are my teachers, and I'm still learning.
I hear you, man. Believe me.
Thanks for everything. Great show again yesterday. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Sam. 800-998-1003. I did want to play this as well from Kyra. I want to get a few bites here real quick, and then, Mark, I'll give you a minute or two to give me your final score and a key to the game, since you won't be here tomorrow, which we always do on a Friday. But one thing that Kyra wanted to say or touched on yesterday when he met with the local reporters about maybe what makes him unique, right? Jordan, what makes you unique?
Me unique?
Yeah.
Everything.
Oh, my God.
I had to say speed, number one. It's coming off being able to score and create for my teammates as well. And I feel like what makes me unique is I feel like I can do pretty much a little bit of everything, whether it's shoot, pass, dribble, defend a little bit. I feel like I'm kind of overall better than any guard in the draft. So I feel like bringing that to the Pelicans would be a good thing.
Look, Gus, I didn't stage that either because I cut the sound.
Uh-huh.
I cut the sound, and usually I get the front and I'll skim through it real quick. So I didn't hear that he said that. I just kind of skimmed through it and had it.
I felt like I got set up there, Mark.
And
ambush.
And so, I mean, I guess I'm just unique in every facet of the game.
Ben, thanks for calling the Sports Hangover here. Got about a minute. What you got?
What do y'all know about Stan Van Gundy and his how good he is at player development with us having such a young team? How has he done with that in the past? What's his track record on developing young talent?
I would say good. The one player that popped in my head, and actually when I was listening to some Kyra sound and in talking to people today on the show about him, who was it, Travis that called yesterday? Travis mentioned Jameer Nelson.
With Orlando.
Right. And
that
how,
was a young team he coached, mm-hmm. you know, with the
and
the
how he sort of became a better point guard and developed there. Again, you go by what J.J. Redick and other guys have said about him, and he credits developing his game to the professional level, right? Ben, it's understanding how to be a good professional player in the NBA, not just using your athleticism. And I guess the reason why I go to that is because one of the things that I got sold on when we were talking about could he be the next coach, one of the things I kept telling people was that someone brought to my attention his ability to break down the team. And we went back to that podcast, if you remember, Jordan, that we played. We played the snippets. And he knew everything about this team, but he looked at it from an analyst standpoint on how they did what well and what they didn't do well. And I went back to what he said about Jackson Hayes in a game that he was a color for during one of the games in a bubble, in which Jackson Hayes covered somebody on the left wing. He made one three-pointer all year. And Van Gundy's like, why are you out there? Because guess what happened? He blew right by Jackson Hayes, and it was an easy layup. And he goes, it's things like that you have to know. That's film study. That's understanding your opponent, who's out there, understanding not only is that the guy you're guarding, but if he goes out there, you give him the 25 feet. Don't leave the paint. The guy makes one three-pointer all year. It's stuff like that that I think, Ben, he's going to be able to develop a young player. His assistant coaches, Fred Vinson, those are guys that work on individual game aspects of it, right? Position, footwork, you know, off the glass, you know, use this hand, things like that. I think what Van Gundy is going to be able to do to develop younger players is understanding the professional game. But this is your job. This is what you need to do homework-wise. And if you don't do it, you're not going to see the court.
In my impression
of him. Did they keep
Vince? Huh?
Did they keep Chris Vince?
No. He's not on there. He's not on the staff.
Okay.
You know,
all right, thanks, guys.
All right, thank you, Ben.
My impression of Van Gundy, much like Peyton, I think he's a coach that'll hold players more accountable and not wait till after the game to say we didn't have energy. Well, it's too late then. Let's do something at halftime or in the middle of the first quarter.
Well, I mean, that was the thing that really stood out to a lot of people there. I mean, when you have Zion coming out saying for whatever – oh, my God, that phrase is embedded in my head for whatever
reason.
Don't
know what happened.
No, for whatever reason, remember? It was from Lonnie. It was Eric. For whatever reason. What do you mean for whatever reason? Well, what's the reason? Why? What is your team – for whatever reason. No, forever reason. Anyway, Mark, got about a minute and a half here before we hit the top of the hour break, and then Matt Moskonen, after further review, takes on over. Real simple. Score, key to the game Sunday at noon, Saints-Falcons.
You know, I think it's going to be, I'll say, 27-24 Saints. Key to the game, I think, is going to be, you know, taking care of the football by Jameis Winston. I think that's going to be it. I think it'll be a close game because it's a rivalry game, because it's a division game. And the Falcons are a hot team, but I like the Saints 27-24.
All right.
I'll give you mine tomorrow.
Well, yeah, of course. That's what
well, you were looking at me like, oh.
I wasn't looking at you.
Yes,
I was
you were. Yes, you were.
Mark, man, it's been a pleasure, man.
Hey,
we'll hear from you
fun,
soon.
It was fun, Gus. Yes.
Sounds good, man. Always fun. Next, Matt Moskonen, after further review, our thanks. Scott Alexander, Lee Sterling, Shemit Dua, Ben Heisler, Andrew Allegretta, Ross Jackson, Mr. Chris Blair, Daniel Salerson, and everybody but Jordan. Thank you for tuning us in.
Wow.
It's the Sports Hangover. We'll see you tomorrow on Friday on ESPN New Orleans.
See you guys tomorrow. It's awesome.
So, now that's...